flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Saquon Barkley, as we determined yesterday, Perloff, is the second best player, according to you, playing in this Super Bowl after Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, he's also the MVP of the season.
Well, let's not get into that rabbit hole.
But he's the man now. And I admit, full disclosure, I did not think this was a great signing. I thought it was a fine signing. I had no idea he was going to transform the Eagles like this.
Well, let's be fair. The running back is back. And Saquon Barkley with the 2,000-yard season is just one of the guys, and he's the best example of how the running back is back. Derrick Henry had a great year. Josh Jacobs had a great year. My guy James Cook had a great year and really transformed an offense that was only known for the quarterback. So running backs are back, Perloff, but I'm going to be honest, I don't know for how long. And because of that, I think it's even more critical and important that the Eagles win this Super Bowl with this running back, because in this season, first of all, you outlined it yesterday, and we can go back through the numbers for anyone who may have missed it, how running backs perform the year after they rush for 2,000 yards.
Right.
It's not pretty.
Yeah.
Not as pretty, that's for sure. And I think there's like another aspect of this where Saquon, they have to like finish the deal right now, because while the running back renaissance is happening, I don't think for very long.
Yeah, but I mean, the Eagles showed they can win the other way too. They didn't need any, they had my guy Ken Gainwell toting the rock last Super Bowl, so why can't they just adjust
again?
They won
that Super Bowl?
Well, they got 35 points against the Chiefs. They're not getting 35 points this time. So I think, no, I mean, like, that's proof of concept that they can win in either style. Like, yeah, they had the same record 2 years ago that they did this year. Their offense was probably a little better 2 years ago. It was great. So, yeah, I don't agree with that about, like, because what you said 2 years ago, like, the Eagles, like, they came so close, like, oh, that was their one shot. I don't buy that for the Eagles at all. They seem to be one of those franchises that is drafting so well that they'll be back in all different kinds of forms.
Okay, but we're having an Eagles conversation. That's on one side. But we're having a running back conversation of what Saquon Barkley means in this game to the future of that position.
Well, why can't they find another Saquon then?
Well, then you can't say this is a great signing. Because if you can find another Saquon, and if Kenneth Gainwell gave you the same thing that Saquon did, then this was a bad signing.
I'd just say running backs are back. For now, unless defenses change and adjust back to stop running backs, it's not, because also you forgot to mention the best of them all is Jahmyr Gibbs. I mean, he's literally probably number one. I think he's just as good as Saquon. So there's something going on in the NFL where running backs and the running game, as it's like coached, are the story of the year. I mean, you look at the guys who got hired. Who are they? Ben Johnson and Liam Cohen are fantastic in the running game. That's right. Probably why they got hired. And Todd Monken's amazing in the running game. The Ravens coordinator, it's all about the running game right now. I don't think it's really just about Saquon's talent. I think there's some big, as you mentioned, a big trend going on in the NFL where defenses are just there to stop the pass. So I don't think it's going to end for a couple of years. I think we're in the middle of a 3 or 4 year wave. And I don't think it's necessarily just Saquon's talent. I think it's the Eagles' offensive line.
Sure. Perfect storm.
It's a great coaching staff. I think Kellen Moore is good at this, too. So I think that this is the beginning of a trend. I was thinking about this. A few years ago, the Jets paid Le'Veon Bell $52 million, 4 years. That was like Ezekiel Elliott got 5 years, $50 million. Like the worst of the worst. They were overpaying running
backs.
Todd
Gurley.
So Saquon gets a lot of money. It is a fraction of what those guys got.
Sure.
Now I think the running back's going to get paid again. I think Saquon's so transformational that they're going to start paying these guys again, and they're going to start featuring them more over the next 4 or 5 years.
Okay, I think, I don't know about paying them again. I think that what they're going to start doing is drafting them high again. Because like a Jahmyr Gibbs, but that's when you get the first contract.
Yeah, and but then similar investment.
Okay, but an investment in draft capital, not in that $50 million that Le'Veon Bell got. Because now all that money's going to the quarterback.
I don't know. Because of Saquon, are you sure that people aren't going to pay up?
So this is why I think instead it's going to be like a Jahmyr Gibbs thing. Or, well, Saquon was the second overall pick, so that was a high pick also. But I think teams are going to draft these running backs higher. Like, let's see how high Ashton Janti goes or someone like that. And then we'll see if they actually get the second contract. I'm still not convinced that they're going to get the second contract because I do think, and I think a lot of people might be with me, that yes, there are some elite generational running backs, but I think a lot of people also believe that they are interchangeable or that you need multiple, right? Running back by committee, the bell cow kind of went away a little bit. And even Jahmyr Gibbs was splitting a lot of time with David Montgomery until Montgomery got banged up. Yeah. So I don't know if they're going to get the second contract. But the other thing, and you touched on it and you kind of glossed it, it's a big deal. This is why I think Saquon Barkley and the Eagles have to win this Super Bowl this way this year, featuring the rushing attack, is because you mentioned defenses are going to adjust.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, you kind of just sort of swept that, you know, like, oh, they're going to adjust. Let's think about it. Why are we getting a running back renaissance? Because defenses started doing this too high safety. They started trying to get, you know, keep Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, you know, from just throwing all over the yard. And they wanted to keep everything in front of them. And I'll tell you what, I was looking at a couple numbers here, and anecdotally, you can just see it. Explosive play rate. Okay, so 20 or more yards is the lowest it's been in 10 seasons.
Right.
And that squares, right? It looks like that a lot of the time.
Right.
You don't think that now we're going to put an emphasis more on, because of that, there's like an inefficiency. So now you got to start getting, you know, designing defenses to stop the run. You've got to start featuring linebackers more. You know, it's all like a pendulum, and it's going to switch back. And then all of a sudden, the quarterbacks are going to say, wow, look at all this open field I've got. Let me just start throwing the ball.
Not happening. Not now. I mean, you just said that explosive, like defenses are terrified of explosive plays, and they'll do anything to stop them. I think Kansas City and Buffalo are thrilled with the way their defenses played this year. Like
for
Ben
now,
O'Brien.
Though. Like,
they're not going to change next year.
Well, maybe not as fast as next season.
The thing is,
it's going to happen fast.
I don't think so. The quarterbacks are too good. They're just not going to want to let them feast anymore. I think they'd much rather let Josh Jacobs and Bucky Irving and these guys just go to town than let up a 50-yard pass. Like, they hate doing that. I think that's the trend right now. And, you know, I think Mahomes having his worst year statistically, like that's a good thing for NFL defenses. Like they kept Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes in check this year. That's a huge accomplishment. Like at the end of the day, I think let's take Bucky Irving for example. Like Tampa Bay was explosive, but I think that teams would rather have that style than a big passing game. Like they do not want to see a 5,200-yard passer and 40 touchdowns.
There's another part of this. We're talking about Saquon Barkley and the renaissance of the running backs, and does Saquon need to get this Super Bowl to sort of officially crown that the running back is back? Because, you know, there are limitations, too. We saw it with Derrick Henry and the Ravens, and you saw even a little bit with Jahmyr Gibbs when the Lions lost to the Commanders in the divisional round. If a team gets a lead on you, it does become harder to feature that run attack. So there are like some deficiencies in it. I think there's another part of why the running back has gotten this renaissance. The defense is for sure, and how they're playing. And Vic Fangio is like one of the architects of the too high safety, right? But I think the wide receiver contracts are starting to get out of control now too.
Right, so that's an argument for paying running backs, right?
Well, I'm thinking that it's like, is this why we're starting to see it now? Is because you're getting to $30 million and $31 million and $32 million a year for wide receivers. Like, that's going to start maybe having a little bit of a cap, and maybe we land somewhere in the middle. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think that you're right. Saquon got 3 years, $36 million, when Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb got 1 year, $36 million.
It's crazy.
So I think the rates are definitely going up. I think Jahmyr Gibbs is through 2 years, right? So he'll be in his third year. After this year, they can start negotiating. Saquon just earned him $10 million. I mean, I think he's only 22, by the way, Gibbs. And he's spectacular. I think he's like going to get paid to like 25% more than Saquon. I think the trend is going to go up, and then it'll go back down again probably. But yeah, I definitely think these guys are going to get second contracts now, because Saquon was a second contract. One thing about Saquon, he saved his legs a little bit because he was hurt all the time. But I don't know
if that's saving
him. And also, I think Josh Jacobs, like, they looked at it like, wow, this is awesome in Green Bay. What an upgrade. I think teams are going to adjust and pay more. It's not because of just Saquon. I think it's a league-wide thing.
We're talking about Saquon Barkley and not just the impact he's going to have on this game in the Super Bowl, but sort of moving forward with this running back renaissance. I think one of the biggest things for Barkley is, how does he play next year? Because it's 2,000 yards. It's awesome. He had six games with 25 or more carries, okay? Derrick Henry had three games with 25 or more carries. Josh Jacobs had four games with 25 or more carries. James Cook had zero games with 25 or more carries. Jahmyr Gibbs had zero games with 25 or more carries. You also have to see the actual workload within the game.
Oh, yeah. Saquon's going to be terrible next year.
Well, might be out the window then of, all right, here's the running back renaissance. Yeah. Because if I have to really be almost load managing my running back, well, now I need a second guy.
And right, but you get the second guy, it could be cheap. I don't think David Montgomery, for example, costs much money. They did re-sign him. But I think that just 1 year, it's worth the 1 year. You know, I think you pay for that year. Run that guy into the ground.
Backs don't want that. Like at Saquon, you know, like,
well,
played with the Giants, but I think he was pretty offended by the fact that they wouldn't give him a long-term deal, and they franchise tagged him.
Right, but you could give a guy 3 years, $40 million. That's not going to kill you. Say, I don't know who the young running backs are, but give the next guy up 3 years, $40 million.
That is James Cook,
right? Well, that's like a wide receiver three in the NFL. So I think that is it's easily going to tick up, and I don't think this running trend is going to go away next year. I think teams prefer this to see teams
move slowly. Control the clock.
Also, too, I think the defense is like, well, you have to execute a lot of plays in a row without a turnover, and now that everybody does the peanut punch,
yep.
I just feel like fumbles. You know, look at the Lions, for example. They really were not an over-the-top passing game this year, and they had to chip down the field, and what happened? Jared Goff gave it up.
Yeah, I know. You ask your quarterback or something to pass 10 times on a 17-play drive, like, the odds are something may go wrong.
Unless it's Patrick Mahomes, and even he fumbled in the AFC title game.
Yeah.
There just seems to be a conservative trend. I agree with you, eventually there'll be like a seesaw, it'll go back, but not next year. Like, as early as next year?
I don't know. Because someone's going to zag here while everyone's zigging.
Like who? Like, what's a team that's going to open up their passing attack and throw it all over the place? I'm curious. Is there another greatest show on turf coming? I was actually wondering that. Like, you're right. There's always a transformational team. I wonder, is someone going to go back to throwing it 60 times a game? I wouldn't know who. He's like, listen, Jim Harbaugh came into the... He wants to carry the ball. I'm not sure. Kyle Shanahan, all he wants, he does not want to throw the ball at all. So the hot coordinators are all run guys.
Yeah, I would think the one team that I could see doing it if they don't get a great running back would be the Bengals.
Yeah, Cincinnati. I knew
Cincinnati. I mean, look at what happened. Joe Burrow, like, can clearly do it.
Yeah, but they're not
He was unbelievable. It's just their defense was so bad.
Yeah, but they're going to say the same thing. Our pass game scores too quickly and put too much pressure on the defense. Jamar Chase going for 80 yards. They're going to say, I read they want to slow it down tremendously next year.
Man, so are you going to give Jamar Chase $32 million to slow it down?
Yeah. Well, you're going to lose T. Higgins probably. Yeah, they need to help their defense with the run game. It's kind of boring, by the way. As a fan, it's not the best necessarily, but Saquon's has made it work.
You get a hurdle somebody backwards. Yeah, yeah. Like, we'll give it to you. 855-212-4227. Saquon, what are you expecting from him in this game? Mm. And also just moving forward, like the running back renaissance.
Also, we have to talk about the other side topic. Does Saquon need a win here for his legacy?
I think for haters like Manny and Bogish and our other Giants fans, I know the Giants are just one fan base, but it has felt like this has been sort of a story that's followed Saquon is just, wow, how could the Giants have screwed this up? If he doesn't do a lot in the Super Bowl, and if they lose, Manny's just saying a prayer to the Lord above that they lose, because you will dunk on Saquon for the rest of your life. You'll sound silly doing it, but you will do it.
I just asked for 25 yards on 16 carries. That's all I asked for. It's
and you'll
much,
use
God.
That as like, see, ha, told you so.
That seems unlikely.
Well, you know what? A brother can dream.
Well, I don't think yardage. He needs. I don't think, you know, quarterbacks are judged by rings. I don't think running backs are. I think Saquon's done all he needs to do. Like, nobody. Can you remember, like, Tony Dorsett? It's like, nobody knows how many rings, like, quarterbacks, everybody puts all the different great guys against each other. Like, Tom Brady had this many rings, and Peyton had this many. Nobody talks about the other positions like that. So I don't think Saquon really needs a win here.
855-212-4227. Why not? Let's go to the phones. Brad, he's in Alabama. What's up, Brad?
What's up? What's up, Amy? How you doing this morning?
Fantastic.
Perloff, man, it's time for Howie Roseman's championship drafting to pay off. He drafted all these players from Bama and Georgia that's been in these games, and they're ready to beat up the Chiefs and make Taylor Swift cry. I mean, guys, when she cries, is she going to bawl big tears, or is it going to kind of be private when Kelce shaves his mustache? I mean, Amy, America is ready. Maggie, my bad. That's America is ready for the Chiefs to lose. We all want to see Taylor Swift cry.
Wait, I mean, do you think that Taylor Swift, Brad, and by the way, to confuse you with Amy is a huge compliment to me. She's amazing.
Yes, I apologize.
That's okay. I think that, like, do you think Taylor Swift is going to be crying like Chris Jones? Like, no Sean Moreno, if you guys remember that.
Well,
you expect
TV.
Her to cry all defensive lineman tears?
She likes the TV, you know, and she made $1 billion off the Eras Tour. You know, we're tired of these Kansas City Chiefs. We want to see smash mouth SEC football win in the NFL, Perloff. Let's go.
Yeah, baby.
Eagles.
I mean, the
come
Chiefs.
Come on. I mean, this is why Roseman drafted him. He didn't draft some scrub from TCU. He drafted Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter and N'Kobe Dean from Georgia. Devontae Smith, Landon Dickerson, Steen, and Jalen Hurts from Alabama and Oklahoma. I mean, he went and got players that've been in big games at young in their career. It's time for them to take over the NFL.
So, Brad, and you forgot Nolan Smith too. Brad, then with all that, you're right. Like, Howie's figured out, how come Alabama and Georgia weren't 1 and 2 this year with all those great players? Is that no longer a thing? Is Howie going to have to find new schools to draft from? Are they not? Because you're right.
Well,
those teams are amazing.
NIL, man. I mean, now Ohio State's got a lot of talent. You know, if he goes and gets some of those players, he's not doing bad either, brother, huh?
Brad, you brought up something, Brad, and thank you for the phone call. I had never thought about this. So the Eagles are the SEC's team?
Oh, they're the Georgia Bulldogs North.
But there's plenty of dudes who played in the SEC who are on the Chiefs.
Well, I think Howie and I think the Lions, there are certain teams that have gone bananas on Alabama and Georgia players, and those are playoff teams.
Wait, but Chris Jones didn't.
Where did Chris Jones go? Southern Miss or something, right?
Mississippi State.
Oh, Mississippi State, yeah.
Xavier Worthy went to Texas, which is now an SEC school.
Yeah, I mean, but listen, like, there was definitely an Alabama-Georgia pipeline for Howie Roseman. It was
there's
a great
an Alabama-Georgia pipeline for every team in the NFL.
Nothing like the Eagles, is there?
Well, the Eagles, just in the last couple of years with the Georgia stuff, has gotten a little noticeable.
Insane. When he went with Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith in the same draft, that was Keely Ringo. He's had four, I think, no one like this.
But here's the thing. Up until very recently, let's call it like it is, drafting Alabama quarterbacks wasn't exactly like a great thing to do. Mac Jones has not been good. And we go back to even like the guys like the AJ McCarrons and stuff like that, who were great winners in college, but they have not been They're not NFL guys. Right, Greg McElroy. You know, these guys weren't known for that.
All other 21 players are awesome.
No, I know. Yeah. He's like Jalen Hurts. It's like, this is very recent. If we're going with Jalen Hurts and Tua, these are very recent that Alabama quarterbacks, besides Joe Namath going all the way back, would be like.
Well, yeah, but the other players from Alabama are great. Obviously, they're O linemen and defensive players, the defensive back four. They're crazy. They're all over the NFL.
It's funny. I just never thought of SEC, like at Brad called from Alabama, are SEC fans who we know love their conference.
But we all
Are they getting behind the Eagles?
We all know the Georgia Eagles thing is well documented. Like, sure. What do they call them? The Philadelphia Bulldogs or something. Yeah, it's crazy that he went all in. It was pretty smart. I have to check it. I think Brad Holmes of Detroit, who's the best drafter out there right now, I think he goes heavy SEC. It makes sense.
Yeah,
But now that's all gone because of NIL. The backups at Alabama and Georgia are all now going out to other schools. So you can't really, that cheat code is gone for Howie, sadly.
855-212-4227. All right, Saquon Barkley. What's at stake for him in this game? Does he have to win it to prove that this was like a success? I guess. We'll get to that in just a moment. But first, Perloff, who's got two thumbs and was a big winner on Prize Picks yesterday. Yeah. And Manny too, apparently. Thank you specifically to Ja Morant, and thank you specifically to Rory McIlroy, because I put those two interesting bedfellows together. And I got a winner. And you can have a winner, too. All you got to do is download the Prize Picks app if you want to get in on the action. It's simple to use. You pick two or more players across any sport. Pick more or less on their projection. You could win up to 1,000 times your money. And, Prof, I understand something big for the big game.
Oh, yeah. The big game is going to be awesome. It's the best way to enjoy this Prize Picks. America's number one daily fantasy sports app. You can play it in 40-plus states. Here's the thing with the big game. If you join now, they're giving away a free pick for the game where a quarterback will only need to throw for 1 yard to win. That's 1 yard, Maggie. Yeah. I think we can get that.
I think we got it.
Yes, unlike Jaren Jackson, who couldn't get one more point last night, but I'm over it. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the code MNP and get a $50 bonus in promo funds instantly when you play $5. That's code MNP on Prize Picks to get a $50 bonus in promo funds instantly when you play just $5. Win or lose, you'll get the $50 in bonus credits for just playing. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
Mand P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. So Brad from Alabama called in and just got me so fired up. He pointed out that Howie Roseman, the Eagles GM, drafts all the SEC guys. I'm going we here because I'm proud of this, have the most Alabama players in the league with 6 and the most Georgia players with 5, 1 on the practice squad. I mean, this is such a cheat code.
They have on the practice squad? Get out of here.
Well, I mean, he might actually get called up. I don't even know who it is. But anyway, they were the Georgia Philly dogs, and now they are the Alabama and Georgia. I mean, this seems like obvious team building 101. Just draft all the guys from those two schools. But now that Saban's gone, I don't need any of those guys. We can find a different
Kirby's
school.
Kirby's still there. But here's the thing. But what Brad was saying is he was calling from Alabama to say, I'm rooting for the Eagles because it's like the SEC's team.
Yeah, sure.
But every NFL team has guys on the SEC. The Chiefs do. Guys who played in the SEC.
But obviously the Eagles have way more of those two premier SEC programs by far. I mean, no one's even close. Because that's my math here. 11 from Georgia and Alabama. I can't imagine any other school. Houston's got 6 Alabama guys too, the Texans. And, you know, they're all real good. So, anyway, it seems like if I'm a GM, I'm following Howie Stout. I just want to go down to Tuscaloosa and find some linemen and stuff. It's awesome. I mean, you got to admit, Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter are amazing.
They are. Well, this is why I think you disagreed with me when I said this Eagles team is better than the one that played in Super Bowl 57 2 years ago. And you're
that was a good team, too.
I'm like, they're younger and better on defense.
Yeah, that team was those guys were really good on defense, too. They had trouble with Mahomes, but I mean, they had like a Brandon Graham still right around his prime. I don't know.
The score was 38-35. Who was playing defense in that game?
I don't know. I liked that team a couple of years ago. That was a good team. I mean, they had the same record. This year's team, by the way, snuck through a very weak NFC playoff field, so we'll see how they do against the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs play everybody close.
Well, let's be honest. You got a little lucky that, you know, Detroit laid an egg against Washington. You got to see a division rival that you knew well. You got the game at home. You know, like, that helped you. That's okay. It's fine. I'm not begrudging you. I'm just saying you got a little help.
The other thing, obviously, you know, my key to NFL team building 101, just draft. Jeff, bad character, bad character, bad character. Just hammer it home and keep on drafting the guys that fall. He's a bad character. They got the New England six rings. It's getting Kansas City their fourth ring, and the Eagles are right behind them. The most, Jalen Carter, I know it was terrible what happened, but that guy never should have fallen to 9. Randy Moss shouldn't be 17.
Can you imagine, Chiefs, trying to interview with an owner to be like, why should you be our next GM? It's like, well, I'm going to find every red flag possible, and that's who's going to shoot to the top of our draft boards. Also, let's be a little fair to the Patriots. Aaron Hernandez was a walking red flag, but he never won a Super Bowl with them. They actually had to win with some of the, like, Tom Brady's not a bad guy. I don't think that.
So Tom Brady is the worst. Worst of the lot. No, but the Patriots definitely, I know, I've heard their philosophy was character is not a factor. Off the field character, football character is all they care about. And let's face it, the Chiefs have clearly made some iffy picks. I mean, they took Tyreek Hill when rest of the NFL said no thank you.
Absolutely. And the stuff from Tyreek Hill, not just in college, but then when he got to the Chiefs and was even suspended during training camp, horrific.
The Steelers take all the character receivers and then wonder why, and after 4 years of success, they totally go bananas. They're like, well, the rest of the league said no on this guy, and you took him. Like Antonio Brown, everybody had a no on him, and they took him. So anyway,
this should be a funny philosophy to try to pitch yourself. It's like, you might as well be like dressed like a Bond villain when you walk in. It's like, here's the idea.
Yeah, Bill Belichick. Sure. I mean, Bill Belichick is as close to a Bond villain as the NFL world will ever have. Do you think he cared about what guys were doing out off the field?
No, if he cared a little more, maybe he could have saved somebody. But it's, you know.
I'm not saying it's admirable. It just gets you a lot of wins.
It's just a funny way to be like, this is my core beliefs.
And I don't think you can't have a whole team of those guys.
You got to balance.
The Bengals, they've had some bad.
Maybe the Lions, you got to argue, maybe I guess Jameson Williams is that guy. But, like, they don't have 15 of those guys.
Did he get in trouble in college? I can't remember.
Well, the gambling.
Well,
But that's the league. I mean, like, real character
issues. Those crimes are not big enough for Perloff. You're not paying attention, DJ.
He needs something
that really can put you in jail.
I mean, like, the Bengals, like, built a team on terrible character guys, and, like, that did not work out.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, Pac-Man Jones and guys like that.
Yeah.
Are you talking about back in the day?
Yeah, back in the day.
What about the Raiders? This has not been good for them. Henry Ruggs, like, these things are devastating.
What was Henry Ruggs' issues?
He's in jail right now.
No, I know, but I don't think coming out of Alabama there was anything with Henry Ruggs.
I find it hard to believe there's absolutely nothing in, like.
Well, they had to take him in 13. You don't understand how drafting bad character works. You wait till they fall to the third round because they have huge red flags. You don't want to get him. Henry Ruggs, they needed a top 13 picker. That's not the formula at all. The guys who fall.
This may sound shocking to people. You're listening in your car. You're like, Perloff, what are you talking about? This is also the same person who endorsed the all steroid Olympics. Like, it's across the board. Like, you just want just whatever.
Lawlessness.
Yeah, just no rules.
No, I just think that, like, it's a Patriots philosophy. Like, just do not get 3 years out of whoever. I don't know, Albert Haynesworth or whatever bad guy they're taking. I'm looking at their list. They had, they had a lot of guys that got in trouble.
He couldn't pass the conditioning test, Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah, I mean, the Pats, I mean, they had Aaron Hernandez. But, like, I'm trying to think of, like, as a Jet fan, like, what? Yeah.
They had Kembrell Tompkins, who is one of the craziest backgrounds of any guy ever to come
in. Willie McGinnis
NFL.
Ended up getting in trouble later.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of what bad Patriots guy, like, killed the Jets. Like, I can't.
Bad character.
Wes Welker killed us. I mean, he wasn't a bad character guy.
Well, sometimes it can be the guys you least expect. Like,
Corey Dillon was known as I don't know if that was just grumbling in the.
Right.
He was definitely, like, a character guy, and the Patriots jumped all over him. Randy Moss had quit on the Raiders, and they're like, you know, he was considered a very bad character guy when they got him. I'll go do some research. They had a lot of guys who fell because of character issues that they took.
Well, they definitely took advantage of the Randy Moss situation to get a guy whose stock was so low. And then, what did they trade, a fifth-round pick or something? Ridiculous for the talent of Randy, and then he goes there, and they basically put together an almost undefeated season.
I mean, you could argue the Chiefs really started in 2016 when they took Tyreek Hill in the fifth round. I mean, I know that. That's a choice, and teams make that. And sometimes it fails spectacularly. Like, it's, you never know. I just think that Jalen Carter, like, they look back, teams are like, well, it was horrible what happened to Georgia, but he probably should have been the number one pick. You know who my favorite one? Laramie Tunsil. Totally harmless.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
I know he's spoken about, he should not have fallen to 12.
No, the gas mask bong was...
That was a panic move. The NFL is like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, we're not going to draft him. Then it was the Dolphins who picked him, right?
Yep.
They got the great deal because somebody put out that video.
You know, I feel bad about actually the Laramie Tunsil thing because what it never gets talked about when he famously, they released a video of him putting on a gas mask bong and then laughing hysterically, like in a video, is he was getting blackmailed by people in his own family.
Terrible story.
It is so awful that that's like, we laugh about it. It's like, haha, college kid, gas mask bong, whatever. He wasn't hurting anyone else. But like, he was literally getting blackmailed by members of his own inner circle. Like, that is just, you've got to be, that's low character. That's, I mean,
I think the attitudes towards weed have changed even since then. Totally. So like, that's helped him reputation wise. Like, nobody, I don't even think that's really stick to it. Laramie Tunsil, I think now he's known as like the crazy highest paid tackle of all time. That guy is cashed in the NFL.
No doubt. 855-212-4227. Texans offensive line didn't have as good a season this year, but obviously they're off and running with CJ Stroud and the like. Dexter Henry is with us doing updates this morning. Dex, been a minute. How are you, pal?
I'm doing good. How are you guys? Everybody good?
You know, we're good, except for Perloff putting together basically a convict unit. Yeah, I don't know where this is going, but...
Yeah, the longest yard.
Yeah, that some interesting stuff there.
Well, did you guys watch the Belichick movie? I mean, the Aaron Hernandez movie? The actor playing Bill Belichick laughed so hard when they're like, I don't think we should take him. He's like, I don't care. We're taking that guy.
Yeah, I think that movie was a little over-traumatized.
I don't think so. I think that exact conversation happened. You don't think the NFL knew what Aaron Hernandez did at Florida? You think Bill Belichick cares if you shoot a guy?
Oh, my gosh.
He is the most callous human being to ever coach the sport.
And now he's coaching college kids.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, wow, I mean, college. Character in college, a sport built on a lie. Like, there's no character in college football. He'll be just fine there.
You're probably right. All right, guys.
Perloff with your daily dose of cynicism this morning. Yeah. Dexter, save us.
I mean, I could be Howie Roseman. I'm just going to go out. So, what have you been arrested for? Come play with us.
The longer the rap sheet, the more I want you.
The more
he
wants. There you go. Guys, the reserves for the NBA All-Star Game, they were announced last night in Western Conference. The Spurs' Victor Wembanyama, the Thunder's Jalen Williams, and the Rockets' Alperen Şengün. They were named All-Star selections for the first time, while in the East, Cade Cunningham of the Pistons, Evan Mobley of the Cavaliers, and Tyler Hero of the Heat, they are first-time All-Stars. As is always the case, guys, with the All-Star team, there will be talk about who got snubbed. Now, among the snubs were Philadelphia's Tyrese Maxey. So, Andrew, did your boy Maxey deserve to be named an All-Star?
Oh my God, are you kidding me? I want to talk MVP the way they're playing lately. Of course he's an All-Star. Well, by the way, is this like the NFL where he'll eventually get to go? Or is this, I know it's next week.
Possibly as an injury replacement. I don't know who would be a candidate.
And does he get to go with the skill? Is he going to be there at least? Because I feel like he's got some buzz. Like, he belongs at that All-Star weekend just as like part of the NBA cast of
young
stars.
So you like him even in the skills competition or something like that?
I don't know. It just feels like, doesn't he feel like he belongs there?
I mean, I thought so after how well he played in the playoffs last year. I thought he really kind of elevated himself. But if I'm him and I just got snubbed, do I really want to show up for your stupid skills competition? I'd probably be like, I don't know, go screw. I'm going to go to Cancun.
Yeah, I can't imagine that if he's not playing the game that he'd want to go other stuff. He could go party. He can go to Cabo. He could spend that time.
You could do nothing.
But practice.
But listen, as a Sixers fan,
team stinks.
Sixers, Manny, they don't practice.
They stink.
Come on.
Individual achievement is nothing for. I mean, they got Embiid, got the MVP, and this has been the most disappointing run of Sixers. Like, we've had enough individual achievement. Like, this team's got to win some meaningful basketball games at some point. So I can't get my ire up about
Maxey.
Maybe
they just need a few more criminals.
Oh,
according to Perloff.
Maybe that's how
Maxey's a pretty nice guy. No wonder he's not succeeding. No wonder he's not an all-star. The Andrew Perloff world of
this doesn't apply to that.
Only building a team full of red flag character guys.
The Chiefs also, Kelsey's a character guy, right? He failed a drug test.
I know, but again, we just talked about Laramie Tunsil with marijuana. People think about it differently now.
But I think Kelsey fell significantly because of the drug test. Like, jump on that. I mean, this is a Matt Taibbi take. Draft the weed guy. That's an old, like, he had that, it was a famous line, draft the weed guy.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like, you draft the weed guy. Anyway, NBA, I don't know. I don't know if the NBA, like.
So this does not apply to the NBA?
I'm not sure. I have to do some research. Does low character equal success on the court? I don't know.
I don't think so. I think that you end up having low IQ players.
Mm. I don't know. And we're just talking about
fewer players on the court, fewer players on the team. I think that disrupts chemistry worse than in the NFL.
I was just thinking to say,
run around doing crazy stuff by himself and nobody knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
I think it's harder when you have 12 guys on the team.
Right. It's a smaller team. But then again, John Morant's Grizzlies have a pretty good record right now, and he seems to do some dumb things off the court.
See, I think not smart. I wouldn't call him low character.
You don't think flashing a gun on Instagram is a low character?
I do.
He also may have beaten up a teenager.
Is that
we're not really sure.
Well, it definitely shows bad judgment, where that bad judgment doesn't come onto the court. But like they're still
I guess
good.
What I'm saying is the low character with him, we didn't talk about it before in the league.
No, right? He was a darling.
Right. Yeah. So I'm like, did the low character come after the money?
I can't even name a lot of NBA stars are too big. They can't afford to be low character. Everyone's watching them all the time.
No, you're right about that.
Yeah, NFL, you nailed it, EJ. You could disappear and do whatever you want.
Yeah. I mean, there was the famous jailblazers of like the early 2000s that had a bunch of guys who were getting arrested and stuff. Those teams were not good.
No, they were not.
Also, go back and look at some of those arrests. Was like speeding tickets. Some of it was like, I was like, man, the jailblazers. And you go back, you're like, wow.
Were they really jailblazers?
You were really doing like, you were doing 70 and a 50?
Wait. Those teams weren't good. Darius they were great. Jailblazers could ball. What are you talking about? They weren't good? I thought they were good. I mean, Mozzie Wells?
They were losing to the Lakers.
Conference Finals, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah, they were really good.
No, but then they got really bad. That's my point.
They had some good low-character teams. I don't want you to to say anything bad about one of my favorite teams of all time.
They're Perloff's crown jewel of this argument that you only sign and draft low-character people, and it's going to be your ticket to the top.
Well, it's a way to get draft value, you know? It's like Moneyball. It's Moneyball in the NFL.
Yes, and there's no other consequences except that.
Yeah, it's called you have traffic problems from your championship parade. That's a consequence.
All right, we're going to stick with the association. Last night in Salt Lake City, Anthony Edwards, he was swishing, but the all-star, he was also dishing.
Ant with it, top of the key. The free throw line, dumps it off for Rudy inside, takes a dribble. Here comes the jump hook. He banked it in off the window. Two more for Rudy Gobert. Give him 15 for the game.
All right, so Edwards found Rudy Gobert for one of his 11 assists on the night. The Timberwolves guard scored a game-high 36 points to go along with 11 dimes. Also grabbed 6 boards. The Wolves, they silenced the Jazz 138-113. In women's college hoops, history was made last night, guys. Vanderbilt freshman Michaela Blakes dropped a 53-piece in the Commodores' 99-86 win over Florida. Her 53 points, they're an SEC single-game scoring record, and her 53 points tied for the second most points ever scored by a freshman in a Division I game. Blakes, who also set a school record on Thursday, she's the only Division I basketball player, men's or women's, to top 50 points in a game this season. So okay. Very impressive.
Vanderbilt there. Athletics.
Yeah.
How about it?
Vanderbilt.
That's awesome.
Vanderbilt coming
I have
out.
A buddy who is the manager of the Vanderbilt women's basketball team.
Oh.
Yeah. You met him.
I did. He's an excellent young man.
Yeah, he's going to be our boss someday.
He will.
He happens to be brilliant, too. He's an analytics guy.
He's also very proficient at the French horn.
Is he really?
Wasn't he a French horn player? It was an instrument. It was definitely a horn instrument.
Unlike Bogush, who apparently was playing his instrument upside down in our promo video.
He was?
Yeah, you can see his post on Twitter. He said his daughter told him that he was playing the instrument upside down. If you go to social media, our NOLA trip visit, our post is up, and you can see us playing some jazz music very badly.
Grammy award-winning type music right there, guys.
Sit back, relax, let it wash over you. Who knew we could be a sports talk radio show and a jazz band? Triple threat. Thank you, Dexter.
No problem.
855-212-4227. Well, actually, speaking of bad behavior, there's some major allegations being levied at one future Hall of Fame football player. We will get to that next. It's Maggie and Perloff.
Stay off the weed.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. So we've been talking about some Super Bowl, Saquon Barkley, this sort of running back renaissance, and what does this game kind of need to look like for this like era of the running back to be back. Welcome to weigh in. Yes,
it was a glory year. You have to admit.
It was a good one.
I mean, just to have the three-headed monster of Saquon, Derrick Henry, and Jahmyr Gibbs ended up with 1,400 yards when he only had half the season. I still argue he's the best of the three. I think this is something. Like, this is a thing.
Well, and the other part, let's do the flip side of this. Look at what happened with the 49ers offense with McCaffrey. I know it wasn't just McCaffrey. They lost a ton of guys.
I mean,
they were in the overtime of the Super Bowl, lose Christian McCaffrey and Brandon Ayuk and other guys. But it just the offense, I mean, say goodbye to Brock Purdy MVP candidate with no Christian McCaffrey and no Brandon Ayuk.
I think we can include your guy, James Cook, in this conversation, too. How many times did the Bills hand it off to him coming out of the second half of the AFC title game?
He was that drive.
Yeah, and
he
was that drive. You have an MVP-type quarterback, and even the Bills turned to their running back. It is, I think you got to look at the coaches, too. All these coaches really are embracing the run game. It's doing wonderful things for them.
So you're welcome to weigh in on that topic and Saquon Barkley and what you expect. We're going to be doing a bunch of props for the Super Bowl coming up later in the show when Nick Costos joins us in his weekly spot from You Better You Bet. That happens at 8:20 Eastern time. Now, unfortunately, serious news that broke yesterday regarding Baltimore Ravens kicker Justin Tucker. This has a little bit of a Deshaun Watson kind of feel, Pearl, where he's being accused by six different massage therapists from high-end spas in the Baltimore area of being inappropriate and beyond inappropriate, egregious behavior towards these women and these massage therapists. So he's not being charged with anything right now. And
which is different than the Deshaun Watson. I feel like we knew about Deshaun Watson because of the lawsuits first.
Exactly.
This one is the reporting has come before the actual lawsuits, as far as we know.
And, you know, depending on like the statute of limitations has actually run out because these are allegations that happened earlier on in his career. So we're talking like 2012 to 2016 type time frame. This is something that's coming together pretty quick. It's being reported by a newspaper called the Baltimore Banner. They received a tip on January 9th, and that's where they started investigating and talking to these different massage therapists who didn't know each other and all had very similar stories that he was, and again, you know, want to be sensitive if they have people and kids in the car, just doing things that massage therapists say they've given hundreds of massages before. And the draping doesn't fall off three times. Like, you have to kind of want to expose yourself, is what they're saying, for these kinds of things to happen. Allegations that he kind of, like, you know, initiated contact, if you will, with, like, with area, his genitals and things like that. So there's another part of this where the allegations are that he was banned from different massage places. Now, Justin Tucker and his lawyers have come out full throttle defense. Never happened. This was, you know, these things just purely didn't happen as far as what happened during the massage. And he's also saying he never got banned from anywhere. But you have lawyers from these massage, like, businesses.
Managers, right? Or lawyers?
Lawyers.
Yeah, managers from the actual businesses who talk to the newspaper.
Yeah, managers and lawyers now for these businesses who say he absolutely was like banned. And whether there was two that outright banned him and apparently told him so. And then there's another that just said every time he would call, we would just say, we're busy, we're fully booked to try to protect their massage therapist. So again, really...
Well,
disgusting allegations here, and here we are again. Now, Justin Tucker has every right to defend himself here, and he's not getting charged with anything, Perloff, but as we know, the NFL, you don't need to have been charged with a crime for the NFL to come down with some kind of discipline.
You know, I think this might take a while, though, because this, again, is a journalistic story. I think there's probably going to be a lawsuit because... there'll be a civil lawsuit, so we have to hear some of these people speak under oath. Mm-hmm. And then we can, right now, we're definitely in the allegation stage. I think we'll know a lot more once this gets into the court system. It just feels, maybe I'm naive and it won't get into the court system, but it feels like this feels like a civil case. And then we'll have people do depositions, and he'll have to answer things with the penalty of lying, not being able to lie.
Yeah.
And the managers will have to say things under oath. So I think we're going to find out a lot more in this case. And I'm not even sure there's a rush because I don't think this is going away.
I don't think it's going away. Yeah. And I think really the NFL levying any kind of discipline what might be the only thing that could happen here. So reading from this Baltimore Banner article, they said that legal experts said that some criminal statutes that may have applied, if these allegations were proven true, indecent exposure, possibly battery, that limitation has expired. And in any event, such cases are rarely prosecuted. One expert said any civil court case, such as a claim for intentional infliction of emotional distress against Tucker, could face a very high bar for success. So I'm wondering, I think it might just be the NFL who could be left here. I don't know if even a civil suit is going to go anywhere, according to this article.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, the NFL, I was just thinking about one thing, and it is a totally different thing. It's a criminal case. But Rashee Rice, they're waiting for the courts to play out on Rashee Rice. As far as I know, they haven't made any ruling, right?
Yeah, same That's with been, Deshaun Watson. They waited for that to...
And that makes sense, too, because they don't have power of... They don't have any legal power. You know, they can bring people into the room. And famously, they've made mistakes where they brought people into the room. Like, there's a reason the court system is the way it is and people get lawyers. Like, I don't love when the NFL does their own investigations without working with the police. So I think this is going to be a real tricky one for them to wait. I mean, I think... Don't you? I'm surprised you just said there might not be a civil case.
That's what it says here in this article. I'm not a legal expert. Amy Dash couldn't join us, unfortunately, today because she's traveling. But we can try to get some clarity there. But this article said it could be very tough. So maybe the NFL disciplining him, if at all, if these allegations are proven true, is the only thing that could happen to him. And then you wonder, like, is his career over? This is a Hall of Fame kicker. He had a terrible season.
Well, if there's
by his standards, like, do you think this was weighing over his head? Or I don't know, because it was very jarring of how inconsistent he was this year.
Well, if they suspend him for four games, I mean, like, that, there's no legal cases. I mean, how long can they suspend him for?
I don't
think his career is done at all. I mean, by the way, we were talking about character. You know where the punt god, Matt Araiza, plays right now?
Yeah, in Kansas City. He's playing in the Super Bowl.
Again, character pick.
Yeah, and he was cleared, but he...
Anyway, I'm just saying, like, I know, I mentioned Matt Araiza, like, if that guy can get through all that and still be in the NFL, like, Justin Tucker with just allegations and never go to court, I think he'll still be viable as a player. Do you think there's any chance that this could end his career? It's a kicker.
I'm not sure. We have a long way to go here. The allegations are pretty alarming. I mean, Deshaun Watson got 11 games. This would just be the one thing I want to ask any of these NFL players who go get these massages. You've got massage therapists in the building where you work. Why are you going all around town? Like, your body is your life. You would trust it even to somebody who's not a professional working with an NFL team? That's the question we can never get answered with these things. We're back in a moment.